Thanks for setting the bar high.
I'm really nervous. I'm going to burp. Okay. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Stopping what was about to happen would be like trying to stop a tsunami with a paperclip. I was on vacation with my best friend. We'd met in college and become fast friends. I felt as though she was the first person to really get me, to really listen to me. We talked about everything, we shared everything. She was the first one to know my faults and accept me, and her attention was addictive. At the end of the vacation, our friendship, which was already really affectionate and totally enmeshed, became sexual. It was overwhelming and powerful and surprising. I had suppressed and repressed all sexual thoughts all of my life, and now they were all spilling out. Towards the end of the vacation, we were together, and this thought went through my head like a whisper, and it was, "What about God?" And the words came up out of me without any thought. This automatic reply was, "This is." It only took a moment for the meaning of my words to sink in and rip me out of the romance novel that I had been enjoying. I said, "What are we doing?" I could see the horror on my face reflected back to me in the face of my friend as she tried to convince me that everything was okay. It's okay. But it wasn't okay. Everything had changed. I had a 6-hour drive home that night. I have no idea how I got home. All I remember is listening to one song on repeat for 6 hours and saying, over and over, "I can't be gay. I can't be gay. I can't be gay." When I got home, the weight of what I had done, the weight of the reality, the sadness and the pain of it was so heavy on me that to get from my bed to the bathroom, I had to crawl. To get from my bed to the kitchen to eat, I had to crawl. Everything I thought I knew about myself, what my life would look like, was gone. The next weekend, I went to confession at a young adult conference. I don't remember much of the confession, and I'm not sure if this gentle and kind priest could understand what I was saying through my tears and snot and cryptic way that I named my sins. I said, "I was with my best friend and we did things that women aren't supposed to do." And I'm pretty sure he didn't think I was talking about the sin of wearing white after Labor Day. We tried to go back to normal being emotionally dependent and enmeshed. We tried to be friends. But when my friend fell in love with a guy she worked with who really smelled bad, I felt rejected and replaced. A year later, I was at her wedding, in her wedding, and doing a pretty good job of pretending that I was happy for her. On the inside, I felt like my organs were all in the wrong place. And no one knew. Our friendship ended soon after that. I couldn't handle the longing and the heartache or the smell of her husband. After that, I stuffed it all back down and lived like it never happened for years. No matter how many times I replayed it in my head. A few years later, a friend gave me a tape series on the theology of the body. Oh, just to explain, tapes are like 8-tracks, but smaller. Or if you're younger than me, Google it. During Lent, I listened to this tape series and I thought, oh, you know, I have a half an hour drive to work. I'll listen to, you know, the first half on the way to work, and I'll listen to the second half on the way home. And I listened to the first half of this tape series on the theology of the body, and I got to work and I'm like, what was that? And so I listened to the same side on the way home and I said, what was that? And so I listened to like 2 sentences as I was driving and then just contemplated it for the rest of the ride. And so it took me all of Lent to get through this tape series on the theology of the body. And it helped me make sense of a lot of things, even my mistakes. So I started studying, and it led me to take a class at the Theology of the Body Institute. The class was called Theology of the Body and Sexual Healing. And I signed up for the class for ministry purposes. It was going to help me minister to the teens that I have in my care. Not that I needed it. But the weeks leading up to this class, I experienced temptation like I'd never had before in my life. I was a fan of mixed martial arts, one of my more feminine pursuits. And there was this like new like realm of like women's mixed martial arts, which I thought was gross, except for that one woman who was really cute, and I couldn't stop thinking about her. So there was no denying my same-sex attraction when I went to this class. On the first day, I met 2 other women who experienced same-sex attraction, and it was the first time I talked about it with anybody. And of course, I became attracted to one of them. Hooray! It was like we had known each other forever. We talked for hours on end. I loved how much she admired me, and my attraction to her grew. But when the class was over and we left and we were going to our separate cities, I'm like, okay, this will be fine. We'll never see each other again. Maybe we'll send emails. And she called me 2 hours later. And the enmeshment began. At that class, I also met Father Jay, a courage chaplain. He introduced me to courage. And he has been a great friend ever since. In the class, we covered some human psychosexual development, and I started to see what might have been some of the origins of my SSA. It was beautiful and difficult and started me on the road that felt like purgatory. When I came home from the class, I went to a priest friend and I said, I need a spiritual director and it can't be you. And he said, okay, I'll help you find somebody, and he did. And he said, but in the meantime, I want you to like try to make a holy hour every day. And I said, a whole hour? Every day? Priest, really? So I ended up spending countless hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament, crying and journaling and longing for what I couldn't have. I asked 1,000,000 questions and I tried to find a loophole in the church's teaching, because nobody had ever done that before. And then after months, I finally just sat with him, the one who loves me, and poured out all my pain. The pain of not being understood, not being heard, not being good enough, the pain of wanting what I couldn't have, not being pretty enough or smart enough, the pain like I didn't belong in my own family. And I poured all of that pain into the wounds in his hands. It's there in front of Jesus that I learned to pray through my temptations. I learned to invite the Lord into the temptation, and as humiliating and as embarrassing as that was at first, it's the only way that I survived. I started reading everything I could about SSA because I was determined to discover the cause so that I could have a cure. I also started seeing a spiritual director, and when I told Father Jonathan that I experienced SSA, he looked me in the eye with sincerity and confidence and said, it's okay that we talk about this. It's good that we talk about this. He helped me to see that shame was stealing my freedom. He walked with me into discovering that my desires deep down were good, that my desire for love and affection and lots of attention, to be important, to belong, those desires are good and normal. And I came to understand that those good desires rise up in me and they pass through my wounds and they get twisted and they get out of whack, they get out of order. His fatherly care was a great source of healing and comfort to me. And I texted him this morning and asked him to pray for me. And he said, "The Holy Spirit is with you, and I love you." And I haven't seen him in years. At the same time, the friendship with the woman that I met at the class, my attraction to her grew. As much as the friendship was a source of temptation, it was also part of my journey of self-acceptance and healing. She helped me see myself differently, to start accepting my own femininity. And being the center of attention with her was pretty cool. Shortly after that, I had this, as I was dealing with my stuff, I had this kind of second sexual awakening. Suddenly, I had this deep and profound understanding of what it meant to be a 15-year-old boy. Anything and everything became a trigger for arousal, even the word arousal. Going to the gym was like skipping through a minefield. She's got yoga pants on, look over here. She has short shorts on, she look over here. Lord, just get me to the elliptical, I can do that with my eyes closed. She's really hot, no, that's a water fountain. Sometimes it felt like I was being dragged behind a horse, manure and all. Especially when the friendship became enmeshed and started to become affectionate. I realized that the person that I loved and respected most was someone that I had to let go of. And at the time, it felt like leaving her would be like starving to death. I remember saying that to her. In a way, letting her go was me drawing a line in the sand and deciding to live for Christ no matter what. To live for Christ in my SSA. To live for Christ even if it meant that I would only have him. As far as understanding my experience of SSA, I found much of the common stuff. I grew up a tomboy. I was different than the other girls, I knew that, but I just thought I was cooler because I could climb trees. And don't ask me to do a pirouette, but I could throw a pretty good spiral. And like most young girls, I had Star Trek action figures. I know I'm not the only one. They would take my sister's Barbie hostage. What's she gonna do? She can't stand. They had a complete and thorough disdain for Barbie because Barbie was girly and girly equaled weakness. And all weakness must be transported to another universe. So I rejected my femininity because I couldn't live up to my mom's version of femininity. She was a cheerleader, I was an athlete. Besides, who would want to when my dad didn't value any of the things that my mom was good at? My parents didn't seem to understand that men and women were created to complement each other, for complementarity. They didn't seem to value what was good in the other because it was different than themselves. This was especially true of my father. I had the impression that to be accepted by him, I had to be like him. And so I did everything I could to be interested in what he was interested in. Talk about things he liked, learn things, spend time with him. I liked all the outdoorsy and athletic stuff anyway. I know more about football, cars, and lawnmowers than the average girl. Anger was the only emotion that my dad seemed to display, so I became good at that too. And I learned how to be the son he never had. This opened the door for a deep feminine inferiority complex starting about fourth grade. I started in a new school in fourth grade, and on the first day I had brand new white Gloria Vanderbilt jeans and a new shirt, and I felt like a million bucks. I was making my way between classes and Kelly, I'll change her last name, Kelly Smith came up to me, and she was the original mean girl. She walked up, double ear piercing, highlights in her hair, fourth grade, highlights in her hair. And she said, she looked me up and down, she goes, "You're the new girl, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh," and walked away. I didn't feel like $1 million anymore. 4 years later, I was preparing for confirmation and I got a haircut. You know, one of those haircuts that goes wrong and then they try to fix it and it goes wronger. I should have had St. Joan of Arc as my patron saint that day. And I had the great joy of having my braces tightened the day before. And my mom picked out a dress. I had lace and it was itchy. And I was in my room standing and looking in the mirror going, "Who is this?" It's like, I felt like I was in a costume. And down the hall in my parents' room with the door half closed, I hear my mom say, "Tell Julie she looks nice. Joel, you look nice!" You couldn't even see me. And that was the problem, he couldn't even see me. This, I see, is my version of the guy's sports wound, the clothes wound. I do not need fashion camp, but... I'm not sure why growing up I got the impression that sex and sexual things were not to be talked about or even thought about. So while I was really curious about sexual things, I repressed any sexual thoughts or feelings. But when I went to college, I was so tired of being unknown and invisible, I did whatever I could to become popular. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I was in college, so I was supposed to party, so I partied. I was in college. I was supposed to hook up with guys and sleep with my boyfriend, so that's what I did. I was supposed to do these things to have fun and live life. I couldn't understand why, if I was doing what I was supposed to do, why I wasn't happy, and why, in fact, sometimes I thought about suicide. And I think my promiscuity in college added to the wounds connected with my SSA. So by the time I made it to that theology of the body class, I had a lifetime of shame and self-hatred all stored up. A few years after that theology of the body class and some years of spiritual direction and lots of counseling, I went to my first Courage conference here at Mundelein. I was terrified. I remember driving down the driveway and four times like stopping the car and being like, "I'm going home. I can't do this. This can't be my life." I was afraid of seeing someone that I knew and being found out. I was also worried that I would be attracted to someone, and I wasn't. No offense, ladies. When I got here, I saw some women that were perfectly dressed, in dresses, makeup, hair done perfectly, and I thought, great, I don't even fit in here. Until I learned those were the Encourage Moms. And I was relieved. I remember the opening talk of that conference. Dan Mattson talked about his experience of SSA and said something to the effect that he was grateful to the Lord for allowing him to experience SSA. And I remember thinking, what is this dude smoking? All I wanted to do was get rid of it. I think I remember Sally pointing at me and saying, "Julie, it's your time to share." Great, thank you. And I remember like saying something to the effect, like, if I could cut off my arm to get rid of my SSA, I would. And I think it was there that I learned the term same-sex attraction. To me, it was such a relief to have a term that I could use to describe my experience. It was a relief not to have to think of myself as gay. There was just so many things attached to that term that didn't describe me. I didn't march in parades. I didn't own a rainbow flag. And I just was more comfortable with the term same-sex attraction. And the theology that I received at that conference and the conferences since started the foundation for a different vision of femininity for me. I also have the memory of that first conference, the opening mass of that first conference. And I remember in the opening procession came priests, came down, priest after priest after priest, processing down, and then a bishop. And I thought, wow, there's so many of them. And I remember the Lord speaking to me, see what I have provided for you. And I am grateful to them. I form friendships with some of the holiest people I know. I let my guard down like nowhere else and learn to laugh at things that used to cause me shame. Like when Kim and I got all excited when we heard about sports camp for the first time. Only to find out it was just for the dudes. I found people that get it. Both the experience of same-sex attraction and the desire to lay down that life for the love of God. Oh, I threw one of my pages down that I need. Can you find a page that has writing on the back? This is Heather. She's the other half of my brain. Thank you. We talked about loneliness in our Courage Women's group, and Dan reflected on it beautifully this morning, and the Lord has answered my loneliness with intimacy. And that intimacy leads to union. And that union, however fragile and inconsistent, has given me the gift of spiritual motherhood. And that's who I am. I'm a daughter of God and a spiritual mother to those that He gives me. There's a couple other ways that the Lord has brought healing into my life through my Courage brothers and sisters. Perhaps obviously with my Courage sisters, to know that I am not alone, that chastity is possible and brings joy. And as true models of courage, to have enough courage to come to your first conference by yourself when you're 18. To have enough courage to put your life on display in a movie for the whole world to see. That's courage. And my Courage brothers, your faithfulness makes me feel safe. When I'm with you, I feel protected. Even if we've never spoken, I see you praying. I see you serving at the altar. I hear you singing from the choir loft. And even though I can't go to sports camp, I know that you're for me, and you are beautiful works of art. A few years ago, I was making arrangements to go on a retreat outside of Boston. And I was to visit with one of the Encourage moms there, and she was going to take me back to the airport after the retreat was over. And in order to get me to my flight on time, we would have to leave her house at like 4 a.m. or some ungodly time like that. And I objected. I'm like, well, that's just way too much to ask. And her reply was, I would do anything for you. And again, I hear the Lord say, see what I have provided for you. Today, my experience of SSA is not as intense. I know it's still there. And when it does pop up, I don't freak out, but I can dismiss it or pray through it. Now it's more like I find myself noticing things about women, like my brain is kind of wired to seek sameness. I don't experience much shame or self-hatred. And the Lord is healing my relationship with my dad. The Lord is helping me to accept my femininity and grow into it as uniquely me. I still don't love skirts, but I do wear one when someone dies. Or gets married or gets ordained. He has given me freedom. He has given me freedom. And He has given me peace and joy. And He has given me Himself so that I can become my true self. And now I think about Dan's story and how he said he was grateful for the Lord allowing him to experience SSA. And I think I get it now. Because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Thanks.